We sang the psalm, "The one who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord." I want that to be all of us. I remember in my earlier days as a priest, I was giving a thirsting for theology talk to a group of young adults. This was before I came to the cathedral. And the idea is that you go out somewhere outside of the church for the encounter. In fact, the cathedral will be starting up its thirsting for theology this Friday. So take a look. So this one was at some bar and grill, and I was giving my talk when I realized that no one was paying attention to me. So I turned around, and I realized that there was this big screen TV behind me with the KU-Oklahoma basketball game on it. I could have been talking about anything at all, but their attention was on something else. Well, at this moment, I could preach about anything, but I'm afraid that much of our attention is on something else. But in this case, it's not what's behind me. That would be a good distraction. But one of our own making in the Catholic Church. When the leaders of the church use their very position of leadership to hurt others, it brings new meaning to Jesus' words in the gospel today. This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. What is there to say? What I wanted to do was stand up here and say, "Look, I'm not one of them." But that's not worth a lot when many of them stood up and said the same thing 15 years ago and didn't mean it. So perhaps your questions are similar to mine. My three questions reveal three things that I think are missing. How can a priest or a bishop promise to conform his life to Christ and then use his life to take advantage of someone? What's missing is fidelity. How can he break the commandments one day and the next day tell others not to? What's missing is repentance. How can a man preach that there will be an accounting for our sins but not be held accountable for his own? What's missing is justice. Three things that I think are missing: fidelity from the day I made my promises, repentance for the times I've messed up, and justice to deal with the consequences. First, I think about fidelity. When a man is ordained, he promises prayer for his people, celibacy, foregoing marriage for the sake of the kingdom of heaven, and obedience to serve in communion with his bishop. Now, don't get me wrong. I truly believe the church is better because of these promises. But only to the extent that a man intends to keep them. As pastor, I try to help every engaged couple to be faithful to the vows that they will make on their wedding day. My role as director of seminarians comes into greater focus with a need to do the same. I also think about repentance. Many of us have heard or read horrific stories of the things done by priests and bishops. It almost matches the list that Jesus just read off in the gospel of evil things that come from within. But it doesn't matter if we're talking about greed or lying or homosexual acts or clericalism or sexual abuse. It's not wrong only if you get caught. And it's not wrong only if it's a crime. It's wrong because it hurts God and my neighbor. And if my repentance is dependent on whether or not I get caught, then I'm not sure that it's repentance at all. And finally, I think about justice. The definition of justice is to give someone what is their due. A worker deserves a just wage. An investment deserves a just return. And a criminal deserves a just punishment. Yes, we are all called to forgive, including those who have hurt us. But forgiveness does not preclude justice. Forgiveness calls forth justice. Fidelity, repentance, justice. I'm sorry that my words can't make everything right. I don't know if they can even make you less angry or less concerned. To whatever extent that I have been a part of the problem, I'm sorry. And to whatever extent that I can be a part of the solution, please allow me. Insist on it, in fact. We sang in the psalm, "The one who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord." I want that to be all of us.